flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Headline, Minneapolis police take aggressive stance against surge in armed robberies. Minneapolis police are adopting a proactive approach to combat a recent surge in armed robberies, shaking up their strategy to ensure safer outcomes. Police Chief Brian O'Hara revealed that squads will now flood reported robbery scenes, aiming to identify and stop suspects while maintaining a strong presence in these high crime areas. We have the chief on with us right now. Thank you so much for being here with us, Chief O'Hara. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Talking about this, and obviously we just got off with Reverend Tim Christopher talking about the community, talking about the danger in some of these areas, how there are problems with the youth and they're getting more brazen, more bold. Read this article where you just recently had 17-year-old suspects, both wanted on multiple arrests, and all of these crimes taking place, and it's going younger and younger. Is this becoming a true pandemic amongst the young with the violence and gun crimes and things that are taking place?
Well, I've been the police chief in Minneapolis for 15 months, and it's been disturbing the entire time I've been here. There's been ebbs and flows, some ups and downs. I think in general, it is better today than it was 6 or 7 months ago. When I first started, we had a 12-year-old boy in a stolen car that was shot 2 different times within about a month or so. And he had been arrested in between. And, you know, that's a situation where mom was just begging for help and there was nothing we could do. Mom was literally begging the police to hold her kid because she couldn't control him. And I've been to, I can't tell you how many scenes I've been to where, you know, children younger than these 17-year-olds have been shot and killed, have been in stolen cars that crashed, wrapped around a tree, in comas, or died. And it's just, it is a sad state of affairs because this is a situation that is predictable, so therefore it should be preventable. You know, a lot of, even this robbery spree, this spike in robberies that we've seen over the last week and a half or so, we've done our civilian analysts, our investigators have worked very hard with their partners and neighboring agencies because this is affecting other towns as well. Don't think this is just happening in Minneapolis because it's not. And through that collaboration, they've identified a number of actors that are involved. And it's just sad because so many of them are ones that we have arrested before and not for silly misdemeanor things, for carjacking, for gun crimes, for robbery and shootings. So that's the part that's disturbing. And I'm certainly I'm sure that we're not the only piece of government that has noticed a problem with these individuals, you know, just over the short time I'm here. I'm sure they've had issues with school, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, there's cases where child services must be involved. So it's just, it's frustrating when we're in this kind of mess, and, you know, it just feels like the rest of the system has been ineffective at dealing with it.
Well, you said that, you know, we're seeing this and it's a predictable environment. So if we know what's happening, we know where it's coming from and how this is taking place. Are we seeing a trend towards what is causing the uptick in these type of violent crimes? Is there some other correlation that's going on currently that we could say, you know what? We've got these billions of dollars sometimes that are relegated to programs and plans out there that maybe aren't going to the right place. If we have more help in this area, we can contain these issues, or we can educate people better, or help even the perpetrators so that they can find another way in another life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the expert on running a police department. I'm not the expert on all these different programs that exist. I know there's been a tremendous emphasis on trying to support other programs. So I won't speak to that. But what I can tell you that I think any person on the street could tell you, particularly those who have been victimized, those who live in neighborhoods where they know people who have been victimized, is look, I mean, especially about 2 years ago when this whole issue with Kias and Hyundais being able to be stolen easily exploded on social media, kind of went out of control. What was happening was, you know, aside from people seeing the chaos in neighborhoods that results from that, from kids driving stolen cars recklessly, you know, what happens is the police were making arrests, and the kids involved were quickly learning it was catch and release, catch and release. Just as soon as they're downtown, you know, the kids are released. I mean, I do think in some ways we've created this problem, made it worse as a system by providing negative reinforcement, by almost teaching kids that there won't be a consequence. And I say that because, again, you know, with some of the kids that have been involved in the robbery spree lately, there's overlap with the kids that we were picking up repeatedly last year in stolen cars. So it's definitely frustrating. Oh, and I was in one of the neighborhoods just the other day talking about a robbery that had happened, and a couple residents came up to me, and the story that they were telling is, yeah, and the week before down the block, they were trying to steal my daughter's Hyundai. And then a week or two before that, they were around the corner here stealing a Kia. I mean, it's frustrating because people on the street that have been affected by this are well aware of what's been going on.
Well, why all the mollycoddling? Why are we not cracking down, especially on a second offense, so it's not just catch and release? Is it just lack of manpower? Is it lack of jail cells? Is it lack of rehabilitation programs for the youth and the people that are committing these crimes?
I can tell you that stuff has nothing to do with the police making arrests and bringing the arrests, whether they're adults to jail or whether they're juveniles to the juvenile detention center. You know, we have enacted over the course of the year and a half that I've been here that I learned we had to start asking for special permission, to have juveniles be held, which was just kind of baffling to me. Like, if we're bringing you this kid, you don't know that we brought them 12 times already over the last year, but we had to tell them that and ask, you know, for permission for kids to be held. So there's things like that that we are doing. But beyond that, I tell you, as things get more and more violent crimes get more and more involved, it becomes more difficult to gather all the evidence necessary to hold these kids and to get them charged. I'll give you an example. A group of kids get out and they do an armed robbery, 6, 7, 8 kids on one victim. It's very quickly done. If it's difficult for that person to remember descriptions, to get a good look at kids' faces, even just to get a license plate, it can be very difficult to have enough to actually charge the robbery for the individuals involved. So it is a complex problem, but I can tell you that the police department in Minneapolis is doing everything that it can with all of the other law enforcement agencies involved and the civilian analysts that help to try and, you know, build cases that are sufficient enough to bring serious charges that hopefully would result in some consequences.
This new aggressive stance that's going to be taken, what does that mean? What does that detail and come out to actually stand for when we look at this? Obviously, people are being hurt and killed on both sides, the criminals and the victims. Police are putting themselves in danger. What's going to be done now from the Minneapolis police force in order to start to curtail these issues, de-escalate them quickly, and try to eliminate, you know, the unnecessary killings that are taking place on both sides?
Sure. So the police department continues to do a fantastic job on the investigative side. Our investigators, our civilian analysts, and we get a tremendous amount of help from neighboring jurisdictions, the county, the state, that provide us investigative resources, which is all great, and that's continuing. And I'm very thankful for all our partners that help us with that. It's important to point out, though, when we're dealing with a crime with juveniles, all of federal law enforcement, U.S. Attorney's Office, and all our federal partners are not involved because they do not have jurisdiction over juvenile offenders. So that's a significant piece of our resources that are out of the equation whenever we're dealing with a crime spree that's being called by juveniles. One thing I changed dramatically this week was Saturday night we had a robbery spree. That's really the main night this was a significant problem, close in time, several incidents happening. And I didn't know about it till 5 o'clock in the morning when I woke up reading the crime reports for the previous night. That's not okay. So I've implemented a new protocol where anytime there's any violent crime spree, you know, two or three more crimes in a close period of time, same geographic proximity, I want to be called immediately. And I will get involved myself as well as everyone else in charge that's responsible for the area where this is happening. And we're going to do a number of things differently. We're going to pull officers off of lower priority calls. We're going to stop responding to calls for service that are not a true emergency. If it's not something that it's something that happened already and all that's needed is a report, it's going to have to wait so that we can get as many officers as we can to flood an area, flush these suspects out, and hopefully make an arrest close in time to when the crime occurs, because I think that would be that tends to be more helpful. Catching people with the proceeds of the robbery in the robbery vehicle, that kind of thing, is helpful, you know, in terms of building the case.
Correct.
But also,
correct,
the more important thing is we want it to stop. And while everybody knows we are short hundreds of police officers in this city, that is not going to be an excuse. We're going to double down and do absolutely everything we can, and I'm very confident with the dedication of the members that we have, we will win, and we will defeat this this recent spike we've been seeing.
May God be with you and the force that are dealing with this. Only 2 minutes left here, though, Chief, and I'm wondering if you could tell us, what can people do that want to help start turning around their communities? What can they do that will be taken seriously and will actually, like you said, you had a mother wanting her child to be held accountable and held up, but it seems everybody throughout all of this feels very vulnerable and very weak.
Yeah. Well, I would say for individuals, for people just in general, it's important to be mindful of your surroundings. Try and be as aware as you can so that, you know, you cannot become a victim yourself. You know, try and not have your car in a position where you know, you're too close in traffic to the person in front of you, where you might be able to be blocked in fairly easily. And be aware of suspicious activity and report it to us, if you can. But if you should be a victim of crime, because that's something that's always going to be a risk in the world that we live in, particularly if you live in any city in this country, it's important to remember, most important thing to remember is property can be replaced,
right?
So I think the number one thing that people should do is just try to be calm and as observant as possible. Try and remember distinguishing characteristics. Try and remember descriptions and clothing. Try and get a license plate if you possibly can, because I think those are things that are very helpful. That's just, you know, for people that are totally unsuspecting, it is absolutely terrifying, and it's not the first thing that pops into somebody's mind.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Chief. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and give us a little bit more insight on that. Police Chief Brian O'Hara. Headline, Minneapolis police take aggressive stance against surge in armed robberies. Minneapolis police are adopting a proactive approach to combat a recent surge in armed robberies, shaking up their strategy to ensure safer outcomes. Police Chief Brian O'Hara revealed that squads will now flood reported robbery scenes, aiming to identify and stop suspects while maintaining a strong presence in these high crime areas. We have the chief on with us right now. Thank you so much for being here with us, Chief O'Hara. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dave, thank you for having me.
Talking about this, and obviously we just got off with Reverend Tim Christopher talking about the community, talking about the danger in some of these areas, how there are problems with the youth and they're getting more brazen, more bold. And to read this article where you just recently had 17-year-old suspects, both wanted on multiple arrests, and all of these crimes taking place, and it's going younger and younger. Is this becoming a true pandemic amongst the young with the violence and gun crimes and things that are taking place?
Well, I've been the police chief in Minneapolis for 15 months. And it's been disturbing the entire time I've been here. There's been ebbs and flows, some ups and downs. I think in general, it is better today than it was 6 or 7 months ago. When I first started, we had a 12-year-old boy in a stolen car that was shot two different times within about a month or so. And he had been arrested in between. And, you know, that's a situation where mom was just begging for help and there was nothing we could do. Mom was literally begging the police to hold her kid because she couldn't control him. And I've been to, I can't tell you how many scenes I've been to where, you know, children younger than these 17-year-olds have been shot and killed, have been in stolen cars that crashed, wrapped around a tree, in comas, or died. And it's just, it is a sad state of affairs because this is a situation that is predictable, so therefore it should be preventable. You know, a lot of, even this robbery spree, this spike in robberies that we've seen over the last week and a half or so, we've done, our civilian analysts, our investigators have worked very hard with their partners and neighboring agencies because this is affecting other towns as well. Don't think this is just happening in Minneapolis because it's not. And through that collaboration, they've identified a number of actors that are involved. And it's just sad because so many of them are ones that we have arrested before. And not for silly misdemeanor things, for carjacking, for gun crimes, for robbery and shootings. So that's the part that's disturbing. And I'm sure that we're not the only piece of government that has noticed a problem with these individuals, you know, just over the short time I'm here. I'm sure they've had issues with school. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, there's cases where child services must be involved. So it's just it's frustrating. When we're in this kind of mess and, it just feels like the rest of the system has been ineffective at dealing with it.
Well, you said that, you know, we're seeing this and it's a predictable environment. So if we know what's happening, we know where it's coming from and how this is taking place. Are we seeing a trend towards what is causing the uptick in these type of violent crimes? Is there some other correlation that's going on currently that we could say, you know what, we've got these billions of dollars sometimes that are relegated to programs and plans out there that maybe aren't going to the right place. If we have more help in this area, we can contain these issues, or we can educate people better, or help even the perpetrators so that they can find another way in another life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the expert on running a police department. I'm not the expert on all these different programs that exist. I know there's been a tremendous emphasis on trying to support other programs. So I won't speak to that. But what I can tell you that I think any person on the street could tell you, particularly those who have been victimized, those who live in neighborhoods where they know people who have been victimized, is look, I mean, especially about 2 years ago when this whole issue with Kias and Hyundais being able to be stolen easily exploded on social media, kind of went out of control. What was happening was, you know, aside from people seeing the chaos in neighborhoods that results from that, from kids driving stolen cars recklessly, you know, what happens is the police were making arrests, and the kids involved were quickly learning it was catch and release, catch and release. Just as soon as they're downtown, you know, the kids are released. I mean, it's, I do think in some ways we've created this problem, made it worse as a system by providing negative reinforcement, by almost teaching kids that there won't be a consequence. And I say that because, again, you know, with some of the kids that have been involved in the robbery spree lately, there's overlap with the kids that we were picking up repeatedly last year in stolen cars. So it's definitely frustrating. Oh, and I was in one of the neighborhoods just the other day talking about a robbery that had happened, and a couple residents came up to me, and the story that they were telling is, yeah, and the week before down the block, they were trying to steal my daughter's Hyundai. And then a week or two before that, they were around the corner here stealing a Kia. I mean, it's just, it's frustrating because people on the street that have been affected by this are well aware of what's been going on.
Well, why all the mollycoddling? Why are we not cracking down, especially on a second offense, so it's not just catch and release? Is it just lack of manpower? Is it lack of jail cells? Is it lack of rehabilitation programs for the youth and the people that are committing these crimes?
I can tell you that stuff has nothing to do with the police making arrests and bringing the arrests, whether they're adults to jail or whether they're juveniles to the juvenile detention center. You know, we have enacted over the course of the year and a half that I've been here that I learned we had to start asking for special permission, to have juveniles be held, which was just kind of baffling to me. Like, if we're bringing you this kid, you don't know that we brought them 12 times already over the last year, but we had to tell them that and ask, you know, for permission for kids to be held. So there's things like that that we are doing. But beyond that, I tell you, as things get more and more violent, crimes get more and more involved, it becomes more difficult to gather all the evidence necessary to hold these kids and to get them charged. I'll give you an example. A group of kids get out and they do an armed robbery, 6, 7, 8 kids on one victim. It's very quickly done. If it's difficult for that person to remember descriptions, to get a look, get good look at kids' faces, even just to get a license plate, it can be very difficult to have enough to actually charge the robbery for the individuals involved. So it is a complex problem. But I can tell you that the police department in Minneapolis is doing everything that it can with all of the other law enforcement agencies involved and the civilian analysts that help to try and, you know, build cases that are sufficient enough to bring serious charges that hopefully would result in some consequences.
This new aggressive stance that's going to be taken, what does that mean? What does that detail and come out to actually stand for when we look at this? Obviously, people are being hurt and killed on both sides, the criminals and the victims. Police are putting themselves in danger. What's going to be done now from the Minneapolis police force in order to start to curtail these issues, de-escalate them quickly, and try to eliminate, you know, the unnecessary killings that are taking place on both sides?
So the police department has done, continues to do a fantastic job on the investigative side. Our investigators, our civilian analysts, and we get a tremendous amount of help from neighboring jurisdictions, the county, the state, that provide us investigative resources, which is all great, and that's continuing. And I'm very thankful for all our partners that help us with that. It's important to point out, though, when we're dealing with a crime with juveniles, all of federal law enforcement, U.S. Attorney's Office, and all our federal partners are not involved because they do not have jurisdiction over juvenile offenders. So that's a significant piece of our resources that are out of the equation whenever we're dealing with a crime spree that's being called by juveniles. One thing I changed dramatically this week was Saturday night we had a robbery spree. That's really the main night this was a significant problem, close in time, several incidents happening. And I didn't know about it till 5 o'clock in the morning when I woke up reading the crime reports for the previous night. That's not okay. So I've implemented a new protocol where anytime there's any violent crime spree, you know, two or three more crimes in a close period of time, same geographic proximity, I want to be called immediately. And I will get involved myself as well as everyone else in charge that's responsible for the area where this is happening. And we're going to do a number of things differently. We're going to pull officers off of lower priority calls. We're going to stop responding to calls for service that are not a true emergency. If it's not something that it's something that happened already and all that's needed is a report, it's going to have to wait so that we can get as many officers as we can to flood an area, flush these suspects out, and hopefully make an arrest close in time to when the crime occurs, because I think that would be that tends to be more helpful. Catching people with the proceeds of the robbery in the robbery vehicle, that kind of thing, is helpful, you know, in terms of building the case.
Correct.
But also,
correct,
the more important thing is we want it to stop. And while everybody knows we are short hundreds of police officers in the city, that is not going to be an excuse. We're going to double down and do absolutely everything we can, and I'm very confident with the dedication of the members that we have, we will win, and we will defeat this this recent spike we've been seeing.
May God be with you and the force that are dealing with this. Only 2 minutes left here, though, Chief, and I'm wondering if you could tell us, what can people do that want to help start turning around their communities? What can they do that will be taken seriously and will actually, like you said, you had a mother wanting her child to be held accountable and held up, but it seems everybody throughout all of this feels very vulnerable and very weak.
Yeah. Well, I would say for individuals, for people just in general, it's important to be mindful of your surroundings. Try and be as aware as you can so that, you know, you cannot become a victim yourself. You know, try and not have your car in a position where you know, you're too close in traffic to the person in front of you, where you might be able to be blocked in fairly easily. And be aware of suspicious activity and report it to us, if you can. But if you should be a victim of crime, because that's something that's always going to be a risk in the world that we live in, particularly if you live in any city in this country, it's important to remember, most important thing to remember is property can be replaced,
right?
So I think the number one thing that people should do is just try to be calm and as observant as possible. Try and remember distinguishing characteristics. Try and remember descriptions and clothing. Try and get a license plate if you possibly can, because I think those are things that are very helpful. That's just, you know, for people that are totally unsuspecting, it is absolutely terrifying, and it's not the first thing that pops into somebody's mind.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Chief. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and give us a little bit more insight on that. Police Chief Brian O'Hara.